Book of Isaiah. Isaiah 38 and verse 17. A verse of scripture that perhaps could describe many in our world today, but also describes the potential of the change that is very positive and very powerful that can come to their lives. Amen. Let's read it together, Isaiah 38, verse 17. Behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption, for thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. Ah, love that outcome. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Let's give the Lord praise right now for that. We know the reality of it. We know the power of it. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Great God, we praise you. We worship you. We lift you up. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank God, thank God. You can be seated. The Lord bless you. I'd like to revisit some of the elements of Benaiah's experience that I shared with you on Thursday. Thursday night, I had a different purpose. This morning, I've got another purpose. So we're going to go back and look at some of those things because there's a parallel in the pit, the snowy day, and the lion. And that parallel is verified in Scripture. And thank God we're able to know the power of the Lord to make a difference in those situations. Praise God. Now, our verse mentions being delivered from the pit of corruption. Praise God. What a powerful experience we know in the Lord in that event and that deliverance. We know that a pit is not comfortable. A pit is not convenient. It's a place of sorrow, a place of isolation, a place of just the recognition that we're doing without. And when we say this is the pits, we're not talking about something that comes out of cherries. We're not talking about something that's just simple and something that's just easy. We know that we experience those difficulties in life and those situations that are hard. And because of a pit, I wonder if that's where a pity party can break out. And we've been there. We've been in those situations. We know how difficult it is. I can remember working a job when I was in high school, and we were digging up the road. The road was not paved. It was just packed gravel. And we were repairing water leaks in the water line. So the ditch was long, and I was down in the ditch with a shovel, backfilling on the pipe and so on. And the mounds of dirt on the side were high, and the chunks of packed gravel were large. It wasn't just a pile of gravel. It was big chunks of gravel. And so I'm down there with my shovel and working away and glancing up every now and then at the pile of dirt on the side, and then all of a sudden it started to move, a cave-in. And those big chunks were coming down at me. And I moved pretty fast and jumped up and down and danced about a bit. If I'd done that in church, revival would have broken out. But I was moving as best I can. I did not want those big chunks to hit my legs to bury my feet. And you always hear about your knees shaking. I climbed out of that ditch. I stood on the side of it, and my knees were shaking. For real. I knew it wasn't just a saying. It wasn't just something that people talking about. You get scared enough, and the adrenaline gets flowing enough, and that's going to happen. And like Belshazzar, his knees smote one against another when he saw the handwriting on the wall. That got his attention. Amen. I pray God get other people's attention. Help them to understand. Help them to recognize. Help them to know that there is power that you have. But the Bible talks about pits. Joseph was thrown into a pit. His brothers were the ones who cast him into that place. They took his coat of many colors off of him. They splashed it with blood from a goat. They concocted the story. This is what we found of your son. Apparently a wild animal has gotten a hold of him and killed him. And I don't know if they were laughing. I don't know if they were just taking turns making up different portions of the story. How about this? We should say that. No doubt there was an element of cruelty and no concern for their brother who was down in the pit. No water there, no food there. But his brother sat down to eat. And while they were eating, they saw in the distance a caravan of traders heading down to Egypt. They had many different things in their possessions that they were taking to trade, to sell, and so on. And the brothers thought, let's sell our brother. Let's profit from him. And so they pulled him up out of the pit. I don't know if Joseph heard their conversation. I don't know if he heard their decision. But if he hadn't, and he felt like he was being rescued out of that pit, no doubt he was thankful. No doubt he was smiling. No doubt he was really ready to tell his brothers, thank you. I know you were just trying to scare me. I know you were just trying to get back at me. But thank you for pulling me up. And then it turned to another bad situation when he was sold into slavery. Probably even worse than being in that pit. And those brothers collected the 20 pieces of silver, and had they divided it equal among themselves, it would just been two apiece. What a small, small amount that they were able to collect, and what a difficult thing Joseph then was subjected to. We know there were lots of ups and downs in Joseph's life, but I'm thankful. The scripture says four times the Lord was with Joseph. That's what counts. That's what we've got to make sure of. There's going to be ups and downs in our situations. There's going to be things that we're going to face. But if the Lord is with us, thank God, that is what we count on. That is what we believe. That is what we want to make sure of. Praise God. And even in the prison, we know that the Lord blessed Joseph. The Lord promoted him. The Lord provided for him. Until finally, after he interpreted the dreams for Pharaoh, the Lord brought him out with promotion and with favor, with goodness and with blessing to be the second ruler in all of Egypt. Oh, thank God. Our God knows how to deliver out of the pit. God knows how to bring you up. God knows how to bring you out. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. It's called den. In the scripture, probably more like a pit than it would be a cave, because Daniel was thrown down into that pit and he spent a night sleeping among the lions, and the king sleepless that night. But when his accusers were thrown into the pit after Daniel was taken out, it says the lions leaped on them before they hit the bottom. So obviously something deep. Not just a cave that you would wander into, but something that would be like a pit. Now, a pit has its downside. We know that that's not a good situation. And somebody wrote the first rule of holes. When you find yourself in one, stop digging. Sometimes we get ourselves in those situations. Sometimes our decisions are wrong. Sometimes we got to back up and take a look. What did I do wrong? Where did I make the wrong turn? Where did I make the wrong decision? Stay out of the pit. That's the devil's plan for you. That's not God's plan for you. Avoid that pit as much as possible. Don't wander close to the edge to kind of gaze in there and see what's going on. The Bible talks about those who forget that they were purged from their old sins. I pray, God, help me never to forget what you brought me out of. Help me never to forget what you delivered me from. Not because I want to go back, not because I want to revel, not because I want to glorify those days, days? Oh, no, there's nothing glory about it. There's nothing good about it. It's the bad old days, and I need to remember that. And thank God I can step into the good days that God has for me. He delivered me out of that pit. A snowy day. Too much snow. And sorry to say, there's more in the forecast. God help us. Plowing, shoveling, scooping, all of that. But the scripture says, white as snow. That phrase is there a few times. The disciples were on the mountain with Jesus. Probably as they were going up there, they were wondering what they're doing. Why are we climbing here? Why are we going up here? Why? What are we doing? But then suddenly, there is the power of the Lord being displayed. Moses and Elijah appearing with the Lord, the voice from heaven. And they looked at the Lord and saw that he was dressed in clothes that were as white as snow. Praise God. So God help us when that snow is coming down fresh and coming down fast. Remember, the scripture talks about white as snow. Isaiah 1 and 18, what a beautiful promise here. How the Lord would call, come, come now. Amen. Thank God that we can heed that call. Thank the Lord that we could answer and we could be directed towards him, not wandering here and there, wondering where the answer is, where's the solution. What am I going to do? But the Lord says, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Oh, thank God that we can come now to the Lord and experience that change, a change that can happen in an instant. Our sins, though they be scarlet, though they be crimson, thank God, can be as white as snow. Oh, I'm thankful the Lord knows how to bring that kind of change. He knows how to produce those kinds of results. He knows how to bring a difference into our lives. And even though we face the lion, like Benaiah did, I'm thankful the outcome is going to be a victory. Fierce animals in Alaska with fangs and teeth. Maybe a lynx may not be considered that dangerous, and a wolverine a little bit small, but I guarantee you I don't want to tangle with any one of them. Three varieties of bears, black, brown, and white. I don't want to tangle with any one of them. And a lion with its 400-plus pounds being able to hit 50 miles an hour in short bursts. That's 10 times faster than I could move. Even with an adrenaline rush. Probably couldn't even hit that. But the fangs and the claws. And one article said the strength of its bite was 650 pounds per square inch. That's a pretty bad bite. Don't want to feel it. But consider, David was a young shepherd. And when he was in talking with King Saul, and Goliath is over there with his bad breath and yellow teeth shouting his challenge. Come, give me a man. David both reminded himself and told King Saul, I killed a bear and I killed a lion that came after the lambs in my flock. He said, the lion took a lamb, but I recovered it. And when the lion came again, I took him by his beard. He grabbed a hold of his mane and killed him. How in the world did he do that? That's pretty close proximity. Reach out and grab a hold of his mane. But God provided. And David could remind himself, this is what the... And three times he says it. You can look in 1 Samuel 17. He mentions it three times as though he's got a stuttering problem. No, he's reminding himself, God took care of me. God provided for me. And he's testifying to the king, if God took care of me in doing that, God will take care of me in dealing with this giant. You don't have to be afraid of anything that comes up against you. You don't have to backpedal. You don't have to wonder how it's going to turn out. When you've got the power of God in your life, you're able to move forward in victory. You're able to see the hand of God displayed. You're able to recognize the Lord is with me, and it doesn't matter what my adversary does. Peter said, your adversary, the devil, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. He's a roaring lion. Now an owl hoots, a wolf howls, and they're simply trying to get the prey to be frightened and move. They're in their hidden spot, but they hear that predator's noise, and the lion's roar is in the same category, trying to frighten you, trying to make you move away from where you know there is safety. The Bible says your adversary walketh about as a roaring lion. Remember Job and the devil showing up and the Lord asking him, where you been? And he said, I've been going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down in it. He wasn't exercising. He didn't have one of those fancy watches that counted the steps. He was looking for a chance to deceive. He was looking for a chance to pull down. He was looking for a chance to frighten and fill with fear so that there would be a move away from the things of God, seeking to devour. Now, the Lord told Peter that Satan wanted to sift him as wheat. But then he told Peter, I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. Oh, thank God that that prayer applies to every one of us. Thank God the Lord ever liveth to make intercession. Amen. To save them to the uttermost. Praise God. Amen. You don't have just a tiny bit of salvation, a thimble full, and that's going to tide you over until the trumpet sounds. Oh, no. You have the uttermost salvation. You have so great salvation. Thank God for the power of the Lord that would come forth, and you've got to have the faith to believe. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Praise God. I'm thankful that our faith can grab a hold of that promise in 1 John 4:4, and no, that applies to me. That applies to my brother. That applies to my sister. Thank God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. If I try to stand on my own, I will be devoured. I will be defeated. I will be deceived. But thank God I don't have to stand on my own. The power of the Holy Ghost within can bring the light, can bring the power, can bring the life. Hallelujah. And we shut down the adversary. Daniel reported to the king who came to that den early in the morning and declared, oh, Daniel is the God whom thou servest, continually able to deliver thee. Notice the testimony that he gave about Daniel. There's no gaps. There's no vacations. There's no fooling around in your serving the Lord. You serve him continually. And is that God that you serve continually able to deliver thee? Thank God for the voice that answered him from the depths of that lion's den. O king, live forever. The Lord hath sent his angel and shut the mouths of the lions. Thank God for the power of the Lord to bring about a change in our circumstances. The Lord is able to display his goodness and his might and his power, hallelujah, so that you could have peace. I like to think of Daniel sleeping that night with a lion's mane for a pillow. You know, the Lord created everything just by speaking it into existence. He created that lion with a mane so that Daniel would have a pillow to sleep on when he was in the den. Don't you know my God can take care of you? Don't you know my God can minister to you? Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God. Revelation 20 reports that one angel has a chain and a key to shut Satan up for 1,000 years. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Thank the Lord we can know God can shut him up. Amen. He comes yapping at you. He comes barking at you. He's trying to drag those sins that the Lord has cast behind his back, and trying to retrieve them and bring them out to you. Oh, no. Thank God the Lord can shut him up. But our actions need to be sober, be vigilant, resist the devil, steadfast in the faith. Praise God. Because there's other promises that deal with you and the devil. Romans 16 and 20, for example. The God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Hallelujah. What a plan of God. Bruises for Satan, grace for you. Grace that will lift you up. Grace that will bring you through. Grace that will take you through every trial, through every problem, through every difficulty. Praise God. Hallelujah. Psalm 91 is one of those psalms that people like to spend a lot of time in. You spend a lot of time in that psalm, every psalm. Praise God. Spend a lot of time in the whole book. There's a lot there. But Psalm 91 is very special because we abide in him. And verse 13 gives a wonderful promise about what we're talking about here this morning. Thou shalt tread upon the lion. There's the connection with Romans 16 and 20. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, a snake. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample underfoot. Praise God. All three describe the devil, the lion, the snake, the dragon. But all three and all the more that he can be, even an angel of light that he transforms himself into. Thank God he's defeated. He's defeated. He's defeated. Hallelujah. Thank God for the power of the Lord and the blessing of God that would come forth, because the Lion of Judah is not going to allow you to be defeated. John wrote of the book with seals, and he wept because no one in heaven and earth could be found to open that book. He stood there with his tears, but one of the elders told him, "Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof." Oh, thank God we don't have to be weeping. I know those tears come. I know that problem is there. I know that situations arise and we have tears in our eyes. But thank God there's going to come the day when the Lord wipes away every tear and we enter into his power and his presence forever, because he has prevailed and he will continue to prevail. He is not going to fail. He's never going to fail. There will be that power and that blessing of God to minister to you in whatever need you have. Praise God. So this pit of corruption, the pit of corruption, Isaiah said, hell hath enlarged herself, opened her mouth without measure, and glory and multitude and pomp and rejoicing descend into it. That's all the glory and multitude and pomp and rejoicing without the Lord. People who are trying to find answers without God. People who are searching at the bottom of a bottle, at the end of a weed, at the popping of a drug, people trying to find satisfaction there. But it doesn't happen. And hell keeps enlarging herself because there's more and more going down the wrong road, more and more not listening to what the Lord says. Hell is enlarging without measure because people are choosing the wrong way to live. And the devil's deceit is bringing more and more people to poor decisions of morality, poor decisions of righteousness, and going in the wrong way. The Bible acknowledges that there are pleasures of sin. Like Moses recognized, the pleasures of sin are for a season. Satan makes it look very appealing, but the outcome is very appalling. Bait and switch is something that we get aggravated about if we go to a car lot or we go to the store or whatever. You know, they advertise this and a certain price and it's got this. And when you get there, they pull that out of the reach or out of the deal and try to present something a little inferior to you. That aggravates us. We ought to be aggravated about what the devil tries to do with that bait and switch baloney, because that's exactly what he does. God help us to be able to turn away, amen, and not step into that realm. Isaiah 5 and 14 is a verse that talks about hell enlarging herself. Verse 13 mentions people in captivity. They're in captivity because of a lack of knowledge. They're hungry and they're thirsty and they have no answers. What misery. What difficulty the devil brings forth. We were amazed as we are traveling home and we see emergency phones in the bathrooms at the airports, written in several languages. If you're a victim of sex trafficking, you can call this number. Right in the bathrooms of the airports, because that problem is getting bigger and bigger and more of a difficulty. Oh, the world will give you bitterness for peace. The world will give you sorrow for joy. The world will give you discomfort for satisfaction. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But thank God there's one who gives deliverance to the captive. He gives recovering of sight to the blind. He sets at liberty them that are bruised. He heals the brokenhearted. Hallelujah. And I'm glad I know his name, Jesus. Jesus. Thank God for the deliverance from the pit of corruption. Isaiah said it so well. Thou hast in love to my soul delivered it. Thank God for his love. It was his love for you that put him on that cross. It was his love for you that kept him on that cross. Yes, he could have summoned the angels. Yes, there could have been thousands of them there to reverse the terrible judgment that was coming upon him because of our sins. But he stayed there because he knew that was the price of deliverance. Oh, thank God. The pit of deliverance can be in our past because his love knows no limits. His love is powerful to make positive changes within us that we cannot make on our own. Changes that no program can bring, no rehab can provide, no education can bring forth. Changes that bring salvation that cannot be reversed, hallelujah, because his love never fails, and he'll bring you out of the pit and into his presence forever, hallelujah. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back, hallelujah, amen. He leaves them there, and we should too. Don't go dragging them back out. Don't let that devil retrieve them for you, amen. Move into the realm that God wants you to have, and that's forward in more of his goodness, more of his blessing. Thank God when we repent, he forgives. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What a great God. What a powerful God. Hallelujah. I love the promise in Jeremiah 31 and 34. I love how the Lord says, I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. The writer to the Hebrews liked it as well, and he repeated it twice, Hebrews 8 and 12, Hebrews 10 and 17, and we need to repeat it again and again. Because the devil's accusation, the devil's deceit, the devil coming forth with his accusing, he knows that he has but a short time, but I'm thankful I can say he has forgiven my iniquity. He remembers my sin no more. He has cast all my sins behind his back. Amen. Sin no more. You know, that's a good command. The man healed at the pool heard the Lord say it, sin no more. The woman who escaped death by stoning heard it from the Lord, sin no more. And thank God we can act on that command as well. Sin no more. Praise God. And move into the realm of the Lord's forgiveness. Psalm 40 and verse 2, I'm thankful the psalmist said, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. Praise God. What a relationship we have in the Lord. The horrible pit, the miry clay, no desire to go back there. No desire to glorify those days. No desire to make it seem like it wasn't that bad. It was bad. It was horrible. But thank God the Lord delivered us. The Lord brought us out. The Lord set our feet upon a rock. Praise God. It wasn't unstable. It wasn't something that wobbled. It wasn't something that was going to falter and fail. No, he established our goings. He made us steady, not floppy and weak, but we keep on going in the power and the presence of the Lord. We keep on moving because our God has provided. Hallelujah. And this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. We shall be changed, the apostle wrote. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God. He said, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. He was presenting the impossibility of mankind finding his own salvation, mankind finding his own way, going his own direction. No, it's not going to happen. You have to be born again. The Lord told Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a man who was familiar with Scripture, a man who had a walk with God, a man who declared over and over, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one." He recognized that powerful truth. But when the Lord told him, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. Thank God for that possibility. Thank God for that reality. Thank God for that power that we can experience in the Lord and know that God has the way to bring forth the answer that we can be born again. Again, hallelujah. All of the mistakes gone, all of the problems gone, all of the misery gone, and the Lord moving us into a new life. Hallelujah. A new power, a new blessing. Hallelujah. Being born again of the water when we're baptized in the wonderful name of Jesus Christ. Being born again of the Spirit, and the Spirit of God speaks in our spirits. Amen. And we speak in a language we don't understand. Supernaturally showing that God has come to abide within. And oh, thank God, that's not the only change that's going to happen. It's a powerful change. It's a wonderful change. It's a change that keeps going. But there's going to be that final change when the trumpet sounds and the voice of the archangel shouts and we are ushered into the presence of God forever. What a change that's going to happen, because he is able to change our vile bodies and fashion it like unto his glorious body. And we will move into that realm of eternity, exalting the Lord, lifting him up, hallelujah, providing the praise that he desires for eternity. And the apostle wrote in 1 Corinthians 15, this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Why is there a must there? Why is there a certainty we must put on? Because if the power of God is at work in your life, if you've experienced the new birth, if you've had the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and you rely upon the name of Jesus Christ for all of the direction and all of the answers that you need, thank God there's nothing that the devil does that can stop that. There's nothing that this world does that can hold you back. There's nothing that the flesh can do to shortchange you. You must put on incorruption. You must put on immortality. That is the deliverance from the pit. That is the deliverance that God hath provided. That is the power that God would bring forth. Thank God that there would be that must. There would be that certainty. There would be that positive aspect of what God has started in your life. And it's not going to be stopped. It's not going to be halted. It's not going to be turned aside. The power of God is going to be displayed. Go ahead and stand with me now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. And so the responsibility falls upon us. Live your life so that you are moving toward incorruption. Live your life so that you are moving toward immortality. And the power of the Spirit is going to usher you further and further into that realm. As we're changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Oh my, I want that change to keep going. I want that change to keep happening. I want that change to keep moving me forward. Hallelujah, until we're ushered into His presence forever. Oh my, how powerful. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to miss it. Oh no. Oh no. Brother Carnley can sing, "Oh, what a beautiful morning," all he wants. 6 o'clock, 4 o'clock, whatever he chooses. I just want to be there to hear him sing it. Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Amen. I want to hear Sister French say, "Oh, it's so good to be here." I want to hear Brother French say, "I told you there was just one." Praise God.
Praise God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. My wife's grandfather on her dad's side passed away when granddad was just a teenager. And so Sister Glover has never had a chance to meet him. Never had a chance to talk to him.
Right.
But a man of God that was strong. A man of God that was certain of the things of the Lord. Praise God. Amen. I want to be there to hear granddad say it. "Hey, Alicia, come over here and meet your granddad."
Yeah, me too.
I don't want to miss it.
Amen. Amen.
I want to be there.
Right.
I want you to be there.
Yes, yes.
We're up against a devil in a world in the flesh that's going to do everything it can to hold you back. But there's got to be a determination that comes within your heart. Amen. A decision that's made in the depths of your mind. I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to turn around. I'm going to keep going and doing the work of the Lord. I'm going to keep going and having the blessing of the Lord. I'm going to keep going. He delivered me from the pit of corruption. He cast all my sins behind His back. His love for me brought me into His power and His presence. No, 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 I'm not going to turn around. I'm not going to go another direction. I'm not going to try to find another way. I'm going on with Him. Praise God. Please come to the altar. Please come and pray this morning. Please come and receive from the Lord the strength that He wants to give you. Please come and receive the encouragement, the touch, the help, the blessing that God is so ready to give right now. Right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh.